What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
An education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Let's bite the bullet. We are now live. Welcome along to the Macam Football Show. I don't know how to start this one. It's too early or too late, depending on how you look at it. 6 o'clock in the morning here in Alice Springs. I have some new guests. How do I do a double guest on the same stream? Paul Wilson, Lee, like, hello, welcome along, guys. Hello. There you go, I've done it. And we have the, well, here we go, we've got more people joining us as we go. Alan, welcome along, mate.
All right, mate.
I'm good, thank you very much. And Jacob, Yorkshire Macam, just joined in as well, welcome along.
Evening.
Good evening, good evening. Oh, good evening. Good evening, Jacob. I'm genuinely, like, I'm all over the place. It feels like I'm a little bit drunk, but it's just waking up this early. Sunderland was 24 hours away from playing in the Premier League, if not less than that now, right? Yeah. I'm going to ask the very basic question. Are we predicting a good time tomorrow? Well, latest today for me. The result. I think the day, the atmosphere will be absolutely buzzing. I can't see it not being. But the opening result, are we now a little bit more, how do we put it, confident in our recruitment, in our squad, all of that? Good times ahead.
Well, I think, you know, obviously we said this before, we never expect them to spend this much money. They must be pushing 150 billion now. And someone else has just come in, I believe, or is going to come in the next 24 hours. So I feel like no one really knows how it's going to play out, because the majority of the first team didn't play last season. When you look at the Vallecano result, that was the majority of the players who played last season, and it was a poor result. So I don't really know how we're going to play. One thing I do know is I think it's going to be harder to score goals. But as far as team performance goes, we're not going to really know until we watch the first three games, then we can pass judgment. I mean, obviously, I feel like the result against Augsburg was probably the more realistic how the team's going to set out, what it's going to play. So I was quite pleasantly surprised at that. But as far as the Prem goes, it's a lot faster than other leagues. And, you know, obviously it's a slower build-up in a German league, you know, and more counter-attacky, whereas the Premier League's frenetic. So who knows, mate?
That's it. And then, obviously, speaking just very briefly about the Premier League, we are officially during, like, recording this, I guess. This is the 70th minute has just hit the first game of the season, the Liverpool versus Bournemouth game. That's currently 2-1. So hopefully we get to see a lot more good football. I've got it on in the background, so if there's any goals, I'll shout them out. But yeah, over to you two. Paul and Lee, what's your thoughts about the first game?
It's going to be a very tough one, because we've came in the season with loads of new signings, and with time what they have to gel, are they going to have time enough to start the season well, or we're going to have to see it coming during the season? Because the West Ham game, could this be just a welcome to the league where we might get our first thrashing, or is it going to be where we're going to get a draw or luckily get a win? what's down the, what team we're going to field out there against West Ham.
Yeah.
Because it's a side again who done very poor last season themselves. But do we then use our fans as momentum from last season if our fans carry that? Never mind pre-season, the fans weren't there for the last one that we were at. There's Real Vallecano. Yep. It was absolutely crap atmosphere. But if this is going to happen in the Premier League, we're going to get the buzz. What happens after West Ham score the one or two goals? Is atmosphere going to go dead? Are we going to go realise we're out of our depth? It's just down how wherever comes tomorrow, really, how we're going to play. But it depends on where we're going to put Xhaka and who's going to go along them.
Yeah, I think there's some really good points in there, and I'll delve into them a little bit more. Like you said, if West Ham do get, I think, an early goal, that atmosphere might die out a little bit. But it is a case of how long can we hold out? And then the more that happens, the more fearful, and just I think we're going to be packed as well. So you got to remember, like, the atmosphere when we're in a good mood will be there. So I think if West Ham don't score early, that atmosphere will just pile into it as well. So yeah, some really good points there, mate. Paul, yourself?
Well, it's the same as Lee, answer to be honest, but in a way I am looking forward to this game. It's actually been 8 years since we were last in the Premier League.
It's mad when you think about it like that. What were you doing 8 years ago?
Got kicked out of the team because of David Moyes. David, who? What? Scottish twat.
Is he in charge of? Is he still in charge of West Ham?
Moyes, no, he's Everton.
He's
Everton. Oh, I was going to say that would have been absolute poetry.
It would have been.
Yeah, first game back, we beat them. That'd be brilliant. But West Ham sacked.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, there's another question we can ask later on about. Start to think about it, but like, who's realistically going to be the first manager to go? Because it's very rare every single Premier League manager stays bad spell.
I'm going to say Brentford, Downey. I just think he's. It's a really left field. I know, obviously, Frank went and he's gone to Spurs, but I feel like they could have done that appointment is very knee jerk. You know, for me, I'd have been disappointed with that appointment. You know, so I'm going to come with Brentford's money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the same as Lee there.
Leeds, I reckon, definitely, if to lose the manager straight away, would be Daniel Farke. Because he's been in that league so many times where he's failed. So how many times is he going to get that chance?
Okay, we might as well jump into it, and then we'll jump on to Jacob's both answers at the same time. For me, I think it might be Scott Parker. Scott Parker obviously has a reputation of struggling in the Prem when he comes up. So, like, maybe they've already got that built-in resilience of we're not really expecting much, just don't put out poor performances. And, yeah, we'll see. I don't think anybody's going to be going early doors. I think it's going to be at least around the 10 game mark that we're looking at that kind of chop and change, but yeah, we'll see. And welcome along. No Brett May says Liverpool looks shaky here. The game's not the game's a bit slow at the moment.
I think that by that goal that Bournemouth scored, I think they've been in control, really, like.
Yeah. Okay, over to you, Jacob. What do you think of the first game?
Yeah. It's going to be a fairly tough game because West Ham are not a bad side, but at the same time they did struggle last season. So it's having that as a first fixture, it gives you a bit like, oh, we could get something out of this, rather than it being a Man City at home or away or a club like that where you just write it off automatically. But for me, I'm saying 1-1. That's my prediction. So I think we can at least get some out of it, but. It's not disastrous if we lose because, you know, first game back in the Prem after 8 years. So it might just take time for the players to gel well. But I'm fairly confident about tomorrow, but nervous at the same time.
Yeah. Here's a more technical question, and like it, for Reggie Labrie, how do you think he's going to set our team up? Are we going to be looking at a more slow-paced counter-attacking style football, or is it just going to be? Oh my god! Oh, spoilers! Semenyo.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Who's got Semenyo in their fantasy? Jeez. He's cracking it, mate. Wow, what a goal.
Yeah, no, that's... I remember when he played for us in League One.
Same here. Give him
time. A party sign, is it?
Yeah, it was a Phil Parkinson.
Yeah, but it was a
Phil Parkinson. Right, okay, so... that. Major interlude. Yeah, so, do you think we do you think we're going to be more counter attacking or what? What's the go to setup for this game?
Well, Labrie, you never know with him, do you? You know, he takes one game at a time. And last season, he started off. Remember the Burnley game? We pushed up by, and then by the end in the playoffs against Coventry, we were sitting. So, I think there'll be a lot more sitting. Obviously in the Prem, and a lot more possession-based stuff, you know, because you've got to look at it realistically. We don't want to concede loads of goals, and that's, I think that's the way his mantra is going to be. He's going to be sitting deep and trying to counter. My only worry with that is goal scoring. Like, Mian hasn't really had a good pre-season. I like mm-hmm. Bright, you know, when I've watched him in games, you know, he obviously runs a channel well on that and he holds the ball up pretty well, but he hasn't scored. He's only got one assist. And I think the lad we brought in from Chelsea as well, I can't pronounce his name.
Gayu,
or whatever his name is.
Gooey. You know,
Gooey, sorry. Obviously, I'm not saying he's... he's played for Chelsea already, but he's not.
He's not
prolific, is he? So that's my worry. I think we're going to be counter attackish, but it's the scoring of goals that worries me because, you know, we really need to start the front foot. Someone needs to start the front foot with that, you know. And, you know, and I said last season, I said, although Wilson scores goals, they're always like worldies. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think he's going to have them chances in the Premier League like he did in the Championship. So, yeah, counter-attack-ish, deep sitting, but my worry's goals.
That's actually quite an interesting point because that's one of the few areas of the pitch where we haven't overly recruited. Gooey is alone. He's 19, so he's actually ever so slightly younger than Meander. He offers a similar style of players, Meander. It's like a proper halfway house between Isidore and Meander's gameplay style. So, it does mean that we are essentially typecasting that strike position to one of three players. That's competition there. Nobody else is going to be starting. So I think it's going to be very rare you'll see two strikers on the pitch at the same time for Sunderland. Yeah, let's put it that way.
You've got to be realistic. He's not going to start two up top. Yeah, I think if we'll only go 4-4-2 or 4-3-3, whatever he wants to do, when, you know, we're really searching for a goal and we're down. So it's always going to be one strike, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's how you see the game. And if we see how we transition from the back to attack, is whatever how Reggie's going to plan out as it goes. But the one attacker, what we've seen in pre-season, has not been working. And if we're saying that we're going to have our backs against the wall most of the time, we need someone quick out of the top. But if you watch pre-season, we're still not quick enough.
See,
that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, mate. But like, for me, And we've been seeing it on the watch alongs here on the channel quite frequently during that preseason. It's a preseason. The energy level and the determination of players in games is not there. Like, you can see it's not there. They're there to try and prove themselves as capable in that position. It was what we were saying for the Augsburg game. This is clearly going to be the starting 11. The Volcano game, this is clearly going to be the guys he's considering as backups and proving the point. Alan said it quite well earlier on. It looked like last year's squad weren't ready enough or weren't good enough to join in with that. So it's not something I overly read into.
It's nothing against last year's players, but we all knew they weren't, you know.
It's a big jump.
There's a massive jump. Yeah, not at the standard.
Doug,
these players were definitely not going to be starting 11 last season. So the starting 11 of last season not going to make the jump this season. So how are we going to execute that when we have the rotation as well? We've got that new centre half, Alderete. I don't know if he could be able to play this weekend or if he is, but when you look at Seals pre-season, you're saying pre-season's about getting your proof worth. He's proved his worth. Mm-hmm. But is he going to hold the centre half, the attacking rate of West Ham, have the Jared Bowen and all them, the people who's been in that league for quite a while? And that's where you'll struggle. That's where we need to look. At when pre-season, I've always said this as I've played football myself, pre-season is to get yourself to that fitness level, ready to go. And it's not about finding your legs, it's about knowing your legs and being determined on that leg. And it's building that momentum. And momentum's showed completely different in pre-season. But like you said, you take a foot off the pedal in pre-season, but would we be able to bring that to West Ham? You see, our strongest team was against Real Valenco, but do you see the passing and execution of the passes sometimes? And a few players are doing some good passing. And if you're saying about possession, you need to be able to keep a hold of the ball, but we can't even keep a hold of the ball sometimes against teams like Hull and other teams like that. The team who just got almost relegated last season, just survived, absolutely dominated us. Then against the German side that we played, Augsburg, we still weren't really the best because there was times when they looked strengthily bigger and physical than us. In this league, what we're in now is 10 times more physical than that. And the only player that we have physically in match is Granit Xhaka, and maybe he's push and shove Dan Ballard, and maybe it's Trey Hume. But apart from that, we need some sort of solidation in that when we're playing against these kind of teams. So when you look at the transition, look at the transitions from our league from where we went from before, you see teams coming up and spending loads of money, and they come back down. And realistically, I'm asking a lot of people here, when was the last time we spent a lot of money inside loads of players, and who was the manager? And do you think that manager was great? Was De Canio?
Oh. I'm not 100% convinced on that point. Like De Canio did a good job with, I'd say maybe 3 new signings in that window. So he already had a solid foundation of squad. Like the last, like this just seems like if you're comparing like literally the starting 11 versus Sheffield United in that final versus who's going to be starting tomorrow, it might as well. I can only really. Yeah,
Ballard and Hume.
That's it. You're looking at
Enzo might not even get on the pitch.
He'd be on the bench.
Mendiki, Diarra and Xhaka. So you might not even see
Enzo. Three midfield then. A three midfield without attacking.
It's a whole revolution, isn't it?
That's
what it's like. You don't have Enzo. Number 10.
One.
You'll say Enzo's a number 10.
I think so, yeah.
But then we spent 2 years bench.
I could pull up squad numbers as well if he's wanting me to go for them. But,
he's announced squad numbers, but not the squad.
We already know who's in goal. It's not passing in goal.
Robin Roos, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, do you have anything?
It's not Enzo.
No, I don't think you will either, mate.
Because I never got to say the manager, actually, about getting sacked first. I'm saying the same as you. I'm Scott Parker.
Oh, Burnley. Mate, you don't have to be nice and quiet and wait your turn. You can just jump in whenever you've got a thing to say, mate. You do know that, right?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
In the chat, actually, who they think this one should be.
Yeah, good question. Let's open it out. Welcome along, Robin.
Robin?
It's not Roofs. It's Robin Hood. Welcome along, mate. Yeah.
I think what it is with Burnley, they've re-signed players they've already have. Like, either if it's new contracts or players they've had on loan, and some of the players they've got are past it, aren't they? Especially Kyle Walker. So that's why I think Burnley might struggle. I'm not saying all the players they've signed are bad, or I'm not just saying, you know, because they have signed some good players, but I just think, you know,
I will say this about our signings, and like we've already kind of half touched on here, the squad feels like a revolution, but is the pre-season window enough time for all these players to feel like a cohesive unit? They're all obviously, I think they're all in the exact same boat, which does help in that they're all like coming at it fresh and wanting to prove themselves in the Premier League. You kind of want to hope every single player that plays in the Premier League wants to prove themselves at that level. But you've got, I'd say overall, a relatively young, highly talented, well sought after squad with Sunderland at the minute. And yeah, it's the ambition that we've got.
You mentioned it there, it's proven, isn't it? It's no one's proven all of this. Obviously, Jack and Adring have played in the Premier League, and the lad who they've just bought from West Ham has got some appearances. So it's the team, and it itself proven itself in the Premier League. But, you know, who knows, mate? You've got to, after the first three games, and we'll know where we are. We don't know where we're at the minute. We know one knows how it's going to play out tomorrow. Obviously, adrenaline's going to be up. Want to start walking out with the ear of the noise, you know what I mean? That'll get them up for it. They'll be nervous. Everyone is, obviously, when they step out on the pitch. But look, it's an unknown entity, which I quite like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Have you seen actually what the likes of Roker Report and all that's put together? They actually want the fans, some of the fans, to arrive early. You know, for what we've done with the second leg, is to actually welcome the team coach, you know, and as make much noise as possible, you know, while the team's actually going into the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's again building up the hype. That's, it doesn't really change all that much on the pitch, but you never know. Like that, what was it called? That amp, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the fucking word. The atmosphere again will be affected by that a little bit more. That's about it. It's not gonna
that turn up every week to do that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you've got to.
Not for me. Like I'll be in the sheep loads having a pint. So
you'll just be enjoying the pre game as normal, wouldn't you? Like just walking out of the bridge or. Team, yes. Are the Vaux? Oh, there's something happened with the Vaux, hasn't it?
I shut me. It's moved, so we're going to shape walls instead.
Bloody can't even get the staff. The thing is that was doing all right though. Surely the one it was next to McDonald's, right? Just, but
they've moved next to the Manakee, so you know where the student nightclub was, or
down by campus.
St Peter's.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've got a bar. They've moved the. The brewery there, so I don't like the micro brew. I don't know if they've got a bar there.
Yeah. Oh.
Liverpool just scored.
Yes, yes. I tried to not spoil that one for you, mate.
<That's right. laughs> I mean, we got
the reaction off my dad.
Robert says the raise the roofs. He's going to be a gem. So, do you think? I'm going to just pull it back a little bit. And again, Jacob, if you want to chip in, please feel free to chip in any point. The roofs absolutely just coming in and bypassing Patterson's, I'd say like 3.5 seasons of progress with our club, is a bit too cutthroat.
No. Sorry to jump in.
Yeah, no, like I said, that's the whole point. Yeah, it's a chat, isn't it?
Look, he divides opinion, doesn't he, Patterson? How many times last season do we mourn about him, about his distribution and his command of the box? The goal against Hull where he came out and flapped and it went in the net. You can't afford them mistakes in the Premier League, because that'll be that. Do you know what I mean? There's no dragging yourself back in the game. It's not Old City or you know, Plymouth or whoever, you know what I mean? These are all good teams, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, for me, competition is healthy for the club. So, you know, and like we said last week, we said there's no malice. You know, you can't be sentimental about these players. You can't. You've just got to go, right, you've served the club. We've got to move on. You've got to be cutthroat. You've got to do what's best for the club. You know what I mean? So, for me, nah, not the last.
That's definitely the right thing. Like, watching Roos' contribution, even before he even came to Sunderland, his goalkeeper contributions, bystands, Patterson's, and when you think about Patterson's progression, even though he's done well in the final, think about all the errors that he's done wrong, then looking at Roos, Roos has demanded his box more than anything than what Patterson has ever done in 3 years. Patterson, his contribution in his commitment wasn't there. Maybe all the rumours which was going around about him is true, but I firmly don't believe that for 1 second. I think that Roos has definitely well pushed him out of that starting lineup for a long, long time. Until Patterson can prove himself, Roos' contribution, his dedication and everything just shows it. To see Patterson in goal last season, quiet. Even in pre-season with Roos, he's shouting at the players.
He was.
And that's what you want as a goalkeeper, to push him on. But I'm looking at the comment what Brad said. I think Pat will learn a lot from Roos. I don't think Pat's going to be here by the end of this transfer window.
Oh.
I'm calling it.
Oh, that's...
I just personally think that, for backup-wise, because of pre-season-wise, I know the Reggie was quite impressed. He took him off of Blondie and then Okwue, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And that was in a pre-season. It get Patterson up the ship, and Patterson got absolutely rinsed by fans.
Yeah, so
I think that's
did,
when you
actually
know your time's up. Either walk out the club or you're going to get sold.
Could be an attitude problem with Patterson as well. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. That is a fair point. And you got Robin and Brad popping in with a couple of thoughts on that as well. Robin's point is pretty much exactly what we're saying, right? He says, I like Pato, but in reality, he can get better or get going. He needs to like see this roof signing as a kick in the teeth that you need to perform at a level or get to expected level to be in the Premier League. And if he's...
Reggie's already done this with Dan Neil. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's already said. You know what I mean? You can... Dan Neil's like, well, no, I want to stay and fight for him for this, which is fair enough. But you know what I mean?
It doesn't mean he's going to get it.
It's the reality of football, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's 4-2, by the way. Everybody who puts the standard, if I'm just, yeah, if I just put the standard player in there, right, getting fantasy points, you know who's scoring.
More salad.
More salad, yeah.
Not Liverpool, I hate Liverpool.
So Liverpool look like they're going to go top with a, well, potentially goals scored as well, because most teams, if they are winning, it's by two goals, isn't it? So, there you go. God, that threw me off. Where were we at? Pat Orr.
We were just talking about players coming and going.
Dan Neal's a good, like you said, yeah, you did shout him out. Dan Neal's another good example of that. Like, I do rate, obviously, Dan Neal's a Sunderland fan. He's been with the club pretty much his entire career thus far. And again, he's been instantly bypassed. He was obviously club captain, and then Xhaka comes in. Just the level where Dan Neal's at versus Xhaka, and the maturity, the experience, the charismatic approach, yeah, the knowledge as well from Xhaka, it just makes logical sense from anybody looking from the outside. The only thing, I think, if it was a case where we had two or three recruits, that Xhaka maybe might not be the captain that would retain as Dan Neal, but because pretty much the entire squad's refreshed, a new squad, new leader, right? That makes more sense than having somebody from the old guard being that the guy to look at, because if we're looking at our old guard, that's the championship level quality. So I think what Dan Neal needs to do here, and to the rest of the players that have been recruited out into second choice, you want to take that as a development opportunity, a like I said, a bit of a kick up the backside to improve your levels. You're in a Premier League squad still. Yeah.
Daniel wasn't a captain in the Championship. He looked out of his depth then. He didn't look mature enough in the Championship, let alone for the Premiership quality standard. When he had likes of Luke O'Nines, even Mepham on loan, he looked more level-headed than the captain at times. Mm. And you think Dan Neal, how it was disciplinary with all the other cards they had last season. He's not going to do it in the Prem, without a shadow of a doubt. So Xhaka was a brilliant signing for us to do. I wasn't keen on it, but I thought it was a brilliant idea. Mm. I love Dan Neal, but it just happens, really. He's a passionate lad, but we just got to let him just... I think we should have sold him when we had a chance, and the teams from Europe were after him. And that's why we could have banked money on him, because he can lose his value as much as he can what he had before.
Yeah.
Something that we've got to look at the squad depth now, like how many we've brought in. When they obviously they've announced the squad numbers, so, but it's the squad who they're taking into the Premier League. Like it's 20. Is it 28? I can't
remember. Yes, it's 28 players.
It's probably something wrong, isn't it?
I can't remember the exact rules. But if I was a player and all these players, I mean, how many brought in now? 12, 13 players? Am I going to get in the team? Am I going to get to play football? You know what I mean? Granted, one or two of them are probably going, yeah, I'm not bothered, I'm tacking a wage. You know what I mean? But if you're a player, I'd be looking at, I'm not going to get in the team here. I need to move on. And we still have, I'd still like to see some, I mean, the transfer window hasn't shut, like, but I still think we've got a lot of movement out the door as well. You know, either loans or sell.
Yeah. I'm just going to, in the background, pull up that squad list that we've got on that. So I'll pull that up. Is anybody that comes to mind immediately that you're thinking they'd be absolutely lucky if they stay with the squad before the end of the season?
Well, I think go on. I'll let you go.
Second, when Serkan's fit, I don't think you'll get game time. Much as I love the fella, I just don't see it. I really don't. Unless we get rid of him, but just don't say it.
I think Huggins, Serkin, like you said, the Jones lad, well, I think he's under 21, there's two of them. Mm. But, you know, there's a few of them.
Anderson's
going
to go,
another
I think.
One. But is
Barr
still in the books?
There's
loads. Yeah. So I think Paul said to me recently, Hamia's going to be gone soon. Apparently,
it depends if anyone's after
him. Here's the official squad numbers that have been released. 1 Patterson, 2 Huggins, 3 Serkan, 4 Neal, 5 Ballard, 7 Talibi, 8 Brown, 9 Gooey, 10 Roberts, 11 Rig, 12 Meander, 13 09, 14 Mundell, 15 Alderte. Is that? He must be that. He must be the new lad that I've not done a video on yet. 16. Yeah. 16 Blondie Nanaweku, 17 Reinaldo, 18 Isidor, 19 Diarra, 21 Moore, 22 Roofs, 23 Sealt, 24 Dingra, 25 Triantus, 26 Masaku, 27 Siddiqui, 27 is my lucky number if anybody gives a crap about that, 28 Lafay, 29 Abdullahi, 30 Aleksic, 32 Hume, 33 Hjelder, 34 obviously Xhaka, 41 Johnson. I'm not sure which Johnson that is, but
yeah, that's Zach.
That's cool. 42 Elise, 47 Ogunsui, and number 50 Harrison Jones. So there is two easy callouts from that: Roshan and Barr, not featured at all. So,
they're still on our books. The movie classes unregistered players, they'll still get paid from us until we get rid of them.
That's yeah, the
which is not right. It's the same as Himia's on theirs, not on theirs.
So Himia as well, yeah. Himia Semedo, yeah. So,
Anderson's not,
Anderson's not there. Not there. So they said anybody that's on that list there that you're thinking, oh, actually they might get sold before the season even starts. Probably, maybe.
I'm questioning if he's in our squad.
I'm thinking maybe Abdullahi. Abdullahi, I can't. Like, obviously, he hasn't really broke into the first team squad at any point either.
I would loan him out.
Yeah, I think
to like League One, League Two side.
I think Rachel is looking to loan him out.
And the player who I really am surprised has got a shirt number in our squad. The Prem's Leo Hjeld. I don't Hjeld sound mean about
him. Yeah.
He's not a left back. A centre half is mediocre for a championship side. And me and Michael Bowers has agreed on it several times. But I just don't think he'll make a cut in the Prem. Adji, I don't know. Mostly injured.
Let's say I think we'll let go of.
But we're giving out shirt numbers to people that's not barely played last season. And why we're giving them numbers?
Like you said,
if he's give them no, if he's give them numbers, I mean, if it's, I mean, Yeller for me, I wouldn't even. I'm in the Championship, never mind the Premier League. Like, so it's a waste of a fucking number. That, to be honest with you. Is Padeva got a number? Did you say Padeva?
Paveda doesn't, but Paveda's looks like he might be getting loaned out. That's something I've heard. Definitely.
That shirt number for the new right back coming in.
Yeah, maybe it's that number 6. I'm surprised that Blondie's got one as well.
Yeah, so am I, actually.
He was one of the people who's mentioned that he might be gone.
See, if you're looking at, well, you've got all three keepers that are, have a number here. Not four keepers, isn't it? Blondie, Patterson, Nanaweku, and Moore. Obviously, that's one position.
I'm surprised Patterson's been given number one jersey. Robin Roos has been chosen by Regis to be number one.
Robin Roos's shirt number before that was 22 at his former club, that's why. Notice a pattern of all the players who's joined has all got the former team shirt numbers, apart from Maguire and Ronaldo. Ronaldo's registered number 23, what Seal holds.
Yeah.
Maguire was number 38 for Chelsea.
So, yeah, but again, obviously that's an upgrade for him, isn't it, really? You gotta look at that as a...
Yeah.
We need a new number 9.
Just to sum it up, I just think there's a lot more movement to happen on the outgoings. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's going to happen in the next, well, before the transfer window should say.
Well, there's a lot
more loans.
The new players may be coming in, that French one. Paul mentioned is maybe a centre half, he's a right back. So what's happened with Huggins then?
I think we'll keep him, to be honest.
I think we'll loan him out.
I mean, I like Huggins, but he's never been coming back from injury, a big injury. I mean, he's looking well because he scored a class goal against Watford.
And he's run out.
He was looking good, but that injury's knocked him back, and now we've gone up a league. So I feel a little bit sorry for Hogan's. But like I said, you know, you can't be sentimental about these things. You've just got to look at it and go, does he need a gun or you know, do we keep him? It's a second string.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Just
Pembele's meant to be going. That was something that I've heard that he's over in
France. To be fair, Timothy Pembele, Abdullah Bar, Hamir Semedo. I'm not, and to be fair, to a kind of a, I'd say a lesser degree, that Nazari Rushin, I think they've come in and performed okay. I'm not going to say they haven't put their heart on the sleeve or anything like that, but they were subpar in some of the games and all right and decent in the rest. You don't want all right and decent at championship level when you're moving in the Prem. And so, yeah, I'm more on the approach. We have recruited to get players who are, I don't know, just of that caliber.
At the standard.
Yeah.
At the standard. Well, and also, you got, you know, this is how Speakman does business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll get a load in. Some will be shit, you know, some will be a bust. You don't know, but one or two or three of them, hopefully, you know, will stand out.
Yes.
Obviously not just Speakman now. I can't, they brought someone else in for recruitment, aren't they, from UV? I can't remember his name. That's him, aye. So, again, we're not just looking at players, we're looking at backroom stuff. I think I've just read as well, there's more backroom stuff coming in.
Yeah.
So.
And the fact that we're announcing backroom staff as if they are a first team player, it's kind of an interesting.
It's important that we're trusting him.
Oh yeah.
It's important that we're showing him.
Well, I genuinely can't imagine us being in the same situation with any other managers that we've had in the last decade. Alex Neil, maybe, but and the right backing. But you've got to remember that Reggie Labrie, with his squad selection, as frustrating as he has been in quite a lot of the games, not making subs at logical times to us lay people, has been effective in the moments that matter. So. I can't see when he did it. So I'm not going to mention his name. He shall not be named, Mr. Moley. I can't see that ever happening under any club he would manage. I can't see it happening under a Mowbray team. Like,
who's on the
I'm not saying he's a maverick, Labrie, but he's you know, he's not.
He's a student of the game
in the sense that he. He's educated in it, you know what I mean? He's spent a lot of time in the coaching environment. He's been to university to study, you know what I mean? He's not... The way he's very pragmatic when he squad selection and how we set up. So for me, he's still unknown in the Premier League, but he's took us this far, so... And he's just been given a new contract.
We've got to trust him. Got to trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with a manager of this caliber, he's developed a vast knowledge of the game very quickly in English football when you think of what he's done in one season with the club.
Brad, don't.
Yeah. And from the final point on that, like, it is just a case of he is a complete unknown entity to a lot of clubs and managers in the Premier League. All they're mainly going by is those two playoff games. For what kind of manager he is, he hasn't really given away a lot in the preseason tactically what he's trying to achieve. So I think that's a thing in your favour, right? One with the underdogs, which again, read that as much as you want. But when people aren't able to study you, but you can study them quite well. That's an unexpected advantage, right?
I think he'll have the upper hand against some managers. You know what I mean? Not all. And especially, like, if you look at Liverpool, you know, the strength and depth they've got, you know, I'll be amazed if he can tactically get himself out of situations in them games, you know what I mean? Because of the caliber they've got. But I feel like the games are going to matter against tomorrow against West Ham, Wolves, Brentford, the two teams that went up with us. You know what I mean? These are the games that I'd like to think that he's you know, he's a bit more astute than the other manager.
So, yeah.
Look, we don't know, but like we've said, you've got to give him a shot and trust his decision making, I guess.
We can't call anything in the Prem. It would be too early with Reggie, especially with the managers that we've had.
Yeah.
He is a young manager. He is young. Like Wiser said, he's a student of the game. He's learnt it. And with a manager of his knowledge, what he has, it's quite impressive for someone who's no one's heard of. But can you name me any managers in the Prem that you've heard of before they came in the Prem? Did anyone hear of Thomas Frank before he went to Brentford? No. So, what does that say? Could he make a scene at the Premier League, get him to a high level, and then see what happens with his career? Not just us he's got to think about, this is also his own career.
I just hope, Lord, if it doesn't go well, I just hope the fans doesn't go straight on his back.
Yeah, that's one thing we can't do. Can't be toxic.
I mean, naturally, it will be just part of that. Like, if one player doesn't make a pass, somebody will always shout up about it, and that's their prerogative.
You get them type of people every season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've moved seat, like your ticket, because obviously I've moved next to Crouchy, but
yeah,
I had a bloke behind me mourning about someone not making a 60-yard pass, and then him saying he could have done it. You know what I mean? So you get morons. Imagine. You know, it's like one or two, isn't it? Let's be honest. Everyone's pretty
You have people in the fans saying, "Oh, we need to score goals. You need to build a ball up first before you can score a goal."
I mean, are you just reading Dale's comment there, by the way? He just says it's a case of scoring goals.
What you said as well, like people saying stuff. Obviously, people say, "Oh, I can do that," you know.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to do a goal.
I bet you can.
So I do it at a professional level.
I bet you could score a 40-yard volley, mate.
He did it once by pressing. Yeah. he pressed circle on his PlayStation button.
I've seen him.
I have missed out on a couple of the chats as well, so just bear that in mind. But I will bring up Brad's comment here around. Sunderland's energy drink principal partner being Monster Energy.
George, right? I was at work the other day, and they said, "Oh, we're getting something a lot more healthier than Red Bull coming in." And they said, "Wazza is a Monster Energy drink." Before it got revealed today, and I legit labelled out one's got more sugar than the other, and try guessing which one.
To be honest, the actual energy drink itself doesn't really matter to me at all. What I think it does do is show you that the club are not afraid, I guess. I think they're just they're doing quite astute business in that if they want an official partner for a specific product, they're getting in revenue for that. You could have your principal fencing partner, you could have your principal fucking stationary supplier. It really doesn't matter. Like, you don't think genuinely the lads are getting themselves a bit of Monster Energy drink down on the touchline, do you? They're gonna have the Lucozade or the Powerade or whatever in the water bottles.
What they're gonna do, have the club badge on the energy drink.
It'll be a water bottle, Sunderland on one side, Monster on the other, and it'll be whatever drink they want on the inside. So exactly. It's an advertising piece.
It's for hospitality ends, really. It's an advertising piece.
There's nothing much behind that. But like for me, it is more conscious in that the brand recognition of that now linked with the club will also create a little bit of extra international conversation in that we're added to a list where, like, Monster is a sponsor of Sunderland. Why? And it's just that extra little bit of, I think, international prowess from...
William Story, then.
I mean,
what's his name?
As long as he's bringing money in.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't remember the American guy's name. Well, apparently he's from Shields, but he was in the MLS. I keep forgetting his bloody name. Bridges? David Bruce? Is it David Bruce?
David Bruce, Bridges.
Bridges, whatever. Yeah. He's clearly quite astute as a corporate businessman bringing in money to the club. And I think that, although it principal drink partner doesn't really matter, like, it does show you that they've brought in good back office staff as well. So I'm happy with that.
A lot of changes definitely coming up this season, a lot. What I've heard even from the inside team, I was at work yesterday, there's still more to come. Apparently, and there's a lot of marketing side of stuff, really, so it's not just in Munster, there's going to be other stuff as well. You know, so it's just going to be absolute loads.
That's it.
Look, it's what I've heard started. But there's a lot of scenes, stuff behind scenes that people don't know about, they won't even publicise.
Yeah,
experience really.
I'm going to switch it from behind the scenes to publicly displaying now. A lot of the vibe, I guess, around the club as well is changing. In that, they're painting the stadium, they're giving it a wash. It feels like we're actually prepared for it. It's simple.
Should have started that door, you know, at the end of the season, not like 2 days before. Bit late, like. But I mean, at least you're doing something, you know what I mean? But
this is one minor concern, I guess, from myself in that whole process. It's going to throw a shitload of mold and moss into the air. I'd imagine a lot of people going to the game tomorrow will have chest infections off the back of it.
You weren't health and safety?
No. I've got asthma, mate. I just always think about shit like that. It's pathetic, but I know. Health and safety got mad.
Apparently Michael's waiting for an invite from you, Hans.
He should be here. And same with Brad. Members, I've got to do this live on here. He's in. And
I don't know if he's online. Is he? Oh yeah, he is.
Ignore. he's in. Tell him to join the other YouTube chat on the side here, or the open chat, and I'll drag him across. That way, I think works. But yes, anyways, I'll sort that out in the background. Jacob, you've been quiet for a little while, mate. Do you want to chip in on any of the, I'd say, the six subjects we've gone through so far?
Well, the one that I know of is we've got, like they say, a new set piece coach. So it's, and also there was someone who left recently. I think it was a non-executive director. I forgot what his name was.
David Jones from the Sky Sports. Yeah.
So yeah, I forgot all about him when it came up. That I just thought, who?
I mean, and then let's be honest. I don't know what he did.
What did David Jones actually do for the club? Nothing.
He didn't do fucking anything.
People come in as director, just directs his executive name to them. It's nothing else.
Yeah. So I wonder who's going to replace him, or if we're just going to not. If we're just going to scrap that role.
We've got loads of directors on board. We've got loads of point of bringing anyone else in now.
I wouldn't say David Jones did nothing, by the way. I'd say he's more like, because he's a director, like a board of director, rather than a core function of the club's requirements, you get heavy investment from... essentially, he's a fan, right? Like, he just wanted to be a part of that and to prove his caliber of what he is able to bring into the club. They've given that specific title. What he essentially did was connect Sunderland to Sky, to the media, to the broadcasting companies around the UK. Now that we've got that implementation, we've got the SAFC live, I'd say at a more a stable position, his benefit of what's needed when we're in the Prem isn't there. We don't need a media specialist. The Premier League comes in, Sky comes in, TNT or BT or whatever it is now. They come in and just say, this is exactly what you need, and do it. We don't need to self-source that. So his function or his expertise is surplus to requirements, and I don't think he's going to be upset by that. He's always going to be a fan. So, yeah, like, you don't need to give somebody a board status just because he threw money at us in the past. It's, I don't know why I'm a little bit more cutthroat with this than I am with the players. It's, yeah. He's probably done, I'd say, a fair amount in getting our act a little bit cleaner from when we were going down from the Prem to League One. And there you go. Dale's bringing up a really good point here as well, by the way. Jan Santori does absolutely nothing. I cannot think of the last thing he did.
That's because you might not know what he does.
He's just an empty promise. That's what he wanted, wasn't he? Wanted to bring international recruitment in. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything.
He was just smiling on Netflix.
Yeah. That's all I see him do.
That's his job.
I work at the stadium often. I barely see him there when he is. He's just next to Kyle smiling for a camera. And he's off.
So he's basically just over here for photographs.
I think he's got a little sharehold. That's what it is. He's a businessman, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he's a sharehold. And shareholders don't need to do much anyways. Just give them a bit of money and then there you go, and I'm off. And I think when he tried running for the campaign for being a Prime Minister of Argentina or Uruguay, wherever he's from, and he took a knockback from that, they stood back quite a bit from there. So...
Yeah.
And that's what happened. He got knocked back from the presidential thing. Not confidence knocked, and he just went, nah, I'm not doing much else now. I'm just going to hang around in the background.
Is there anybody else that, like, we got to phase out of that?
Well, I think we've learnt our lesson from the Mag debacle and the backroom staff. Is it Davison? I know Paul always corrects me, you know who it is. Is it Davison, Paul? Yeah, so, you know, Dreyfus and Speakman have learnt a valuable lesson of who should be where in the club, you know what I mean? Let's not forget that. How long's the tenure now? 4 years.
I think this is the start of year five. Yeah,
it's year five. So, Dreyfus, young bloke. You know what I mean? Probably a little bit green. Did not maybe treated as a bit of a football manager type affair. You know what I mean? I'll give it a whirl. But I think he's learning, and fairly quickly. So, and like you said, he's made good appointments. And bad appointments, and that'll probably keep happening. But I'm sure we've learned our lesson, especially the backroom staff. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think. Voice break. I think on the KLD conversation there as well. I will say, like you said, he has been very tight with his purse strings, and the value of some of the players that we've got in, just pure cash money. While we're in the Championship, was that we're looking for hidden gems kind of approach. And
yeah,
it just seems to hit a switch. As soon as we're in the Premier League, let's throw the money at it. And I'm not going to beat around the bush here. Like when we were recruiting last summer or the summer before, I'm like, does this billionaire owner actually want to invest in the club?
Well, he's done it in a smart way, hasn't he? You know,
yeah.
The buying and selling, we accumulated money from Job. The players that we've brought in and sold, we've made money on. Stewart's an example. Clark's an example of that. So, you know, we can't fault him in the way he's done business. And what he's done with, you know, going into the Premier League, he's hedged his bets. He knows we're going to get 200 to 220 million throughout the year. So with the Job money and that money, he's spread out, obviously when you buy a player, you don't pay that straight away, do you? It's spread out over a number of years. So he's having a go, and you can't fault him for that. And, you know, I don't want to tempt fate, but if we gun down his ball players, that will probably have resale value. Diarra being a prime example of that. So Look, you can't fault the club from where we were 4 years ago to now.
Oh, God, no. I think it is, it's, what's it, polar opposite. It just feels like we're I think we're in the middle or a bit of a upward trajectory on that Sunderland roller coaster, and we just want to keep that ride as in the Premier League as long as possible. I've got a joke, I guess, that was told to me earlier on, which is, I see Sunderland surviving in the Premier League for 3 seasons. Autumn, winter, spring. <All right. laughs> I thought that was quite clever. Dad joke 101, but how long do you see if we are in this kind of KLD era? How long do you think we could survive in the Prem?
I'd give it about a good few years before we get another investment.
It's not about reinvestment or selling the club on or anything like that. I'm just saying, if KLD was our owner for the next 20 years, how many of those do you think are going to be in the Prem?
Ooh, that's actually a very tough piece of string.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, how long's a piece of string? Yeah. Do you think if KLD and Speakman, this era... You've already said it's smart, it's logical. What we've done is make sense. If the unfortunate does happen and Sunderland do go down, do you see us have to do a new 5-year plan under them, or do you look at or do they look at offloading the club to some other investor? That's kind of my main.
Again, who knows what's in his mind? You know what I mean, like. He's young, so you like to think he wants a bit of longevity. You know what I mean? It's not like at the end of he's not a billionaire who's retired. Not the Glazers, you know what I mean? It's a young lad who's probably got ambition. So, you know, and he doesn't, you've got to remember where he's come from. He's come from a rich family. His dad was Marseille president and owned, I think he was CEO of Adidas at one point. So he's come from that and he wants to make his own mark, surely. You know what I mean? And this is making his own mark. So I think he's in it for the long haul, but again, business is business. Someone turns around at the end of the season, say we've done well, and offers him, I don't know, some Saudi, I'm not saying Saudi, but someone like that offers big money. He's a businessman. So who knows? But for me personally, I think he's got things he wants to do in the game. So I think he'll be here longer than we think.
Yeah, and I think we've also got to take into account, like, sorry, I'm going to harp back on it, and sorry if this does bring up bad memories, but when he, the FA Cup tie against the Mags, the Black Cats bar thing, all of that just naivety of not understanding how important that was. Sorry, Lee. Yeah, like you said, there's a lot for him to learn and to build from it. So,
Lee, were you, like, you worked there when that was going on?
Yeah, well, what happened with all that? I think what was, they were trying to get a safe area for Newcastle fans to be at, and that's what the talk was in the stadium. And I don't know why they gave up the Black Cats, and I don't know why they gave up any of our bars, really, because solely it was. Nothing trusted on behalf of what our staff wanted to do. It's down to whatever communication at the time it was in charge to do that. Davison was still around at the time of Sunderland. My mind's a Sunderland homegrown lad. He always had a soft spot for Newcastle, apparently. And that was discussed. And that's when he started opening that up to that suggested idea. To stop Sunderland fans from targeting Newcastle fans. However, this caused conflict on box level. And then Black Cats, where Sunderland fans were trying to get in and beat on Mags in the stadium. And it was a really, really stupid idea. Even the staff got involved at points where some of us got hit. It
did none of the staff turn around and say, why the fuck have you done that?
Like, you know what's right?
Put on this bar.
We actually, our own staff protested working in that bar because of what they've done that for. And they decided to bring in Newcastle staff in. And our own owners paid them for working that shift.
That's ridiculous.
And that's what happened. And it took off about 20 odd people's staff off that day. So yes. When
you got
some stuff in,
so shouldn't have happened. Yeah. The reason I brought that up, and sorry about the bad memories there. Sorry.
I'm abused, still, that I got stick from that, you know. Working there, you get abused.
Oh, yeah. Hands.
This time round, that's why he's actually hoping to actually have that game off.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you can get to enjoy the game itself, right? But yeah, the reason I'm bringing that up, and I think it does harp on the ownership, the naivety of them in that moment versus where they're at now. You can tell they are pumping money in to at least publicly showing they understand the history of the club. The bringing in of Hummel, the designing the kits, the whole like, this kit needs to represent this part of the town. This kit needs to represent this part of history. You can see they've took that absolute shit show that was the Derby Day and run with, holy fuck, this is how we do better.
Yeah,
so
they've improved, yeah, definitely, 100%. You know what I mean?
Is this first year back in the Premier League just another potential huge learning and stepping stone for them? That's
probably
it's like you said, piece of string, long future question.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other questions to go through?
What, me?
Yeah, any of yous? Go for it.
No questions, just got doubts. Before we go, it's nerve-wracking, and people say they're not nervous about the speed of the Premier League, but we don't want to end up, you know, being embarrassed. That was my biggest fear, is like every week becoming turgid, fans turning. I just don't want that. It's not good viewing. We just have to accept that some games we're not even going to be in the game. You know, it's going to be difficult, and we're going to get beat at home. You know, whereas like I said last season, you go to a game and you'd think we can win this, like every game in the Championship. But this league is. I mean, just tonight watching Liverpool versus Bournemouth. I mean, Bournemouth brought it back to 2-2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Liverpool was shaking a little bit, you know what I mean? That's Liverpool spent like 300 million. So,
yeah.
Look, let's just back them as much as we can, you know what I mean? And learn to live with disappointment.
Mate, we're Sunderland fans. We know how to do that quite well. Bowers, send me an invite on Discord and I'll join if you want. Yeah, sure, mate. You're already in it. Here we go. So all you need to do is join that channel and I'll drag you up. You've got the MBSAFC in the Macams channel already. But yes. I can't really think of anything other than what do you reckon the score's going to be? We've already done that, haven't we?
We haven't done
it
tomorrow.
No, I haven't.
We haven't asked everyone.
Have I not? Oh.
No.
Oh, how horrible of me. So this is even more rude because Jacob hasn't spoken for ages and he's the only prediction we know. He said 1-1. Jacob, you alive? Somebody call the ambulance.
Twice
if you're alive.
I can't bloody see him.
Oh, that's good. Alan,
clap your hands.
Yeah, probably is, mate. Probably is. Go on then, Alan, what's your prediction for tomorrow's game? Any goal scorers?
1-1 and 4. Goal scorer. I'm going to say Diarra. Edge of the box. Rocket.
Oh. Nice. Hello. He's in the open chat. There we go. There we go. There we go. Oh, Diara, Diara Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
1-1.
1-1. Okay.
Boom. There he is.
Paul Wilson, what's your score prediction for tomorrow?
I'm going to go 2-1.
2-1. Goal scorers. Yeah, go on. Go on.
I'm going to go Meanda. And I'm going to go Granit Xhaka.
Nice. Okay. Fair. You've got Robin Hood, who's agreeing with you with Xhaka scoring in a 1-0 win. Nice. Deal. We'll move away from the conversation. Your messages are definitely clearly in the video. And Lee?
Oof. I don't like predicting scores because I tend to get them fucked up and wrong.
Right.
As much as I can.
Okay. So if you go with a West Ham win, then... Then you're going to be wrong.
Every time I've getting a score right so far, it's been a 0-0. And I'll be happy just to take a point on the opening day at least.
Yeah.
Maybe take points on 0-0. At least we could get a clean sheet to start the season. I'll be happy. And I think Mike will be loving me saying it right now.
That's why Mike left the chat. Because you said clean sheet.
Will Greek. Will.
Lady J, you say you don't like my predictions because you get it wrong.
Yeah.
I get them wrong every week.
I
don't think I ever got any right.
I'll be happy with the 0-0, but ambitious minus 1-0. Ambitious score 1-0.
That's sad that that's ambitious, man.
West Ham, you can turn up against us anytime, anyone can. But if it was a big goal scorer, I want to say someone different, what everyone else is going to say. I want to actually make it something so obscene and different. Score the first London goal.
You could pop up at the back corner on a back post on the corner or something like that, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
He's definitely not taking the penalties, I can tell you that much, if we do get one.
No chance.
We need a penalty here, that's what we need, Jesus.
Well, I hope it's not me, Ender.
No.
Not after what I've seen in previous season.
No, listen, he said after last season or not.
That's it. Oh, Bowers is just failing the Discord.
I think his Discord's playing up, to be honest. Like,
that's all good. We'll fix it going forward. So if he needs a little bit of a Discord tutorial, we'll sort that out off stream.
He will be.
For my score prediction, we are 4-1 Ivan Tovey and get the odds. Where's
Michael's gone the wrong chat.
Oh no.
Tony Ivans,
yeah. I'm going to go, and this is probably going to sound really cocky, but I think it's not cocky at all. I think we're going to win, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. So I'm going to go 3-1. I mean, the desert sun is coming up, like, so I could be cooking, but...
You mean that, or we've been drinking too much Foster's?
No, nobody drinks Foster's. Nobody drinks Foster's. I think goal scorers in Meander pretty much off the bat. I just think the atmosphere is going to be immense, and that will drive some Sunderland players to look at, like, elevating themselves up straight away. So, yeah, early goals. Meander, I'm going to go Talibi and... Uh, Xhaka's two. Like you said, Xhaka, I think maybe from a free kick. So yeah, hopefully 3-1. But yeah, that's my prediction. So everybody else has been cautiously optimistic in just picking up a point. I'm just going to go fuck it. Why not? It's a prediction. I'm more than likely to have egg on my face either way. So yeah, 3-1.
Michael is going to go 1-1 or something.
Michael loves clean sheets.
So he's going to go 1-0 Sunderland.
Aye.
Hey, clean sheets. I don't mind a clean sheet in any way, shape, or form. That's it. Okay, cool. I think we'll work out how to get Bowers on to the next one a little bit more in the pre-stream admin. Make sure everything's up and running and working. Jacob, are you there?
I think he's fell asleep, you know.
I think you might have fell asleep. Yeah, you might be right.
Tori is good. I don't get what I'm saying. Good night.
Tori's phone's dead.
No, it can't be active. Dead because it's active. So if your phone dies, you disconnect.
Jacob.
He's asleep. Bless him. I'll leave the stream on and playing like sleep music just so you can.
I'll just message him now, saying that we can hear
you
snoring.
Yeah, they
are. Good luck. Right. 3:00 kickoff, by the way. Very excited for that. We will be above the mags guaranteed tomorrow, by the way, just so you're aware. So get that screenshot ready. Because we play before them.
Oh,
thank God. They play first, mate. They play it up, but they play after 12.
I thought they play on Sunday.
No, they play
after. Oh, we could have been. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Everyone's got to be us a Villa fan tomorrow, yeah?
Yes.
They play first tomorrow, but Isaac's not playing.
Isaac's not playing.
Isaac's not there.
I think Isaac might be my new favourite Newcastle player, you know. Just.
I know. Yeah, I think it's a secret me and Magum, you know. They got promoted, he just want to play.
Too much to be signed for Russia if you scored against them.
This statement, I imagine, is just very callback esque. I want to join a team with ambition.
I'm join a team with ambition or delusional hope of the Saudi money.
Right, and on that delightful comment, we shall say goodbye to the stream. So I think it's Hoel, lads.